We're up to the bracha Shiva Shoftinu Kvarishona, returning the judges of old. So before we get to the bracha, I distinctly remember being told by some of my rabbeim that this bracha is a very hard one to have real kavana for, because do we really want what's being referred to in this bracha? We have to ask ourselves that, and we hope the answer is going to be yes. But if we're honest with ourselves, we have to be honest with ourselves. Whenever we do things with God, we should talk to Him with sincerity. So we're going to look in this bracha, figure out what it is, and try to get an angle at the content of the bracha to understand what we should be thinking when we're saying the bracha. So let's go slowly. First line is Hashiva Shoftinu Kvarishon. Return our judges like the first ones. Like the first ones. Right, Rishona.
Or like at first.
Like originally, like at first. That's what you were saying. Like at first. Hashiva Shoftinu, return our judges like at first. V'yoatzeinu kevatchila. And our yoatzim, or yoatz is an advisor. And our advisors like the beginning. Mm-hmm. Right? So at first, like the beginning. There's a little bit of discussion. Is there a difference between at first and like the beginning? But there's certainly a difference between shoftim and yoatzim. Mm-hmm. Shofet is a judge, yoatz is an advisor. Mm-hmm. So let's just go through the rest of the bracha and then we'll see. Next line is v'aser mimenu yagon ve'anacha, and remove from us yagon ve'anacha. So yagon is some kind of pain, and anacha some kind of groaning. I saw a Malbim which explains that yagon is like an internal unexpressed pain, whereas anacha is an expressed pain. Ve'anech also means to groan, to literally sigh. So it could be emotional, internal pain, and also expressed pain. So we're asking God to remove that from us. Then we have another request: Umaloch aleinu ata Hashem levadcha v'chesed uverachamim, and reign over us, be king over us, you, God, levadcha, by yourself, you should be the king, v'chesed uverachamim, and your king, you should rule over us with charity and mercy. And this is an interesting line, the conclusion: v'tzadikim b'mishpat, and we should be righteous in judgment. We should be right. We should be deemed righteous in judgment, maybe. Then the conclusion, Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Elohim Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Blessed are you, Hashem, the King who loves righteousness and justice. Okay. So we're going to have to figure out what all these things are. What's the difference between Shoftim and Yoatzim? How all these lines fit together? Why are we asking, if we're asking for Shoftim, why are we asking for God to be King over us? What does one have to do with the other? And what's the conclusionary line of Tzadikinu Mishpat? We should be deemed righteous in judgment. So these are all things that we're going to explain. So as we saw before, many of the languages from Shemoneh Esrei are drawn from the prophets, specifically Yeshaya. So we're going to find the pasuk here, which is very relevant for our tefillah. But this is from Yeshaya Perek Aleph. So Yeshaya Perek Aleph is a Yeshaya in general, and specifically Perek Aleph, is a mix of tochacha, rebuke, lamentation, as well as a promise for the future, and God's promises about what things will be good. So we can see, I brought the last pasuk of Gimel, which is the last pasuk of tochacha and lamentation, and how it transitions into the next few pesukim, Chav Dalet, which is the positive. So let's see Chav Gimel first. Sarayich sorerim. The word ben sorer umoreh, right? Your princes are so rebellious. V'chavrei ganavim kulo oiv shachad. And they are companions of thieves, ganavim thieves, kulo oiv shachad. They all love bribes. V'rodif shalmonim. And they follow their own shalom, their own rewards. Yasom lo yishpotu. They do not take up the case of orphans. V'riv almana lo yavo alehem. And they do not take up the cause of the widows. In other words, they're not active in social justice, and they are the companions of thieves, and they are rebellious. In other words, rebellious to God. Bad judges. So this is God, Yeshaya, lamenting the situation. So continues Yeshaya, Chavdalen. Lachein Nu'um Ha'adon Hashem Tzvakos. Therefore, from our Master Hashem, Lord of Legions, Avir Yisrael. Avir means to cleanse. I will clean Israel. Hay enachem mitzarai. I will ease myself, and achem, I will comfort myself, mitzorai, from my enemies, v'inakma me oyivai, and I will avenge myself from my other enemies. V'ashiva yadi alayich, I will return my hand upon you, v'etzrof kabor sigayich. Again, I will clean you, from the word kabir, I will clean you, sigayich, with some kind of detergent, v'asira kol b'dilayich, and I will remove away all of your, impurities. Okay. So we saw, right, we're talking about, previously we mentioned, the lamentation is that the judges are bad, the princes, the rulership, the authority is bad. God is saying, I will clean you. Now, Chafav, our pasuk, v'ashiva shoftayach kevarishona, I will restore your judges like at first, v'yoatzayach kevatchila, and your advisors, your counselors, like at the beginning. Achreichin yikarei lecha ir hatzedek, kirya ne'emana, afterwards, you will be called a city that is just, Yer Tzedek, Kirya Ne'amana, and you will be called Ne'amana, faithful. The city will be called faithful. And then Tzion B'mishpat Tibadeh, that has all sorts of awesome ramifications. Tzion B'mishpat Tibadeh, Zion will be redeemed with justice, V'shaveh B'tzaka, and they that return of her with righteousness. V'shever Poshim V'chata'im Yachta V'oz V'Hashem Yichlu. Destruction of the transgressors, etc. They're going to come back. And those who leave God, those who abandon God, will be destroyed. So, on the one hand, these five psukim that we read, where God is going to fix the problems. On the one hand, it's good because clearly it's in the context of, you know, the social injustices that were being performed. God's going to return our counselors and our judges, and we will gain back social justice. And that's, you know, we will be called Ir HaTzedek. We will be called an ir that is ne'emana. On the other hand, there's definitely a lot of vengeance and punishment involved in these psukim, right? That's v'sheva poshim v'chata'im yachdav. They will be destroyed. On the other hand, Sion is going to be judged. So this pasuk, these psukim are kind of a mix between punishment and salvation at the same time. Punishment and salvation. All right, so which line in Shmoneh Esrei, in our bracha, is sourced in this pasuk, in this pasukim? Right, Hashiva Shoftein Kvarishon, Yotun Kvatchil, certainly comes from this pasuk. I'm going to see how the rest of the bracha perhaps also relates to the themes that are in these pasukim. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just saw two possibilities that are very important. So what are Shoftim, and what are Yoatzim, what are judges, and what are counselors?
Well, Shoftim seem more like, you know, professional, Mikzoi, you know.
Okay.
And could a Shofet also be a leader? I don't know.
And a Yoetz?
And the Yoetz is, I don't know, advises the king, maybe?
So I saw a few positions about this. The Malbim claimed that Shoftim is kind of like a catch-all. It's a catch-all for someone who is a position of influence. But in context of Yoetzim, it means something specific. So the Malbim says, works backwards, so to speak. Yoetz, an advisor, says the Malbim, given the context of the way the Tikkun Torah is spelled out, a Yoetz is someone who advises Bein Adam Lamakom. That is a Yoetz, someone who tells you what to do, how to relate to God. And a Shofet is someone who judges Bein Adam L'Chavero. So Shofet is Bein Adam L'Chavero, and Yoetz is Bein Adam Lamakom. So what does Barishona and Vatchila mean? So that just means, you know, the early ones who were just and righteous. The early Shoftim, the back in the good old days, before Israel went sour. So that's how the Malbim reads this pasuk, and I guess subsequently, what would we do with our bracha? We're saying we want those who can judge us in the ways of you know, society, and we want those who can judge us, who can help us reflect upon what we need to do with God. And he actually says, that's the difference between Ir HaTzedek and Ne'emana. Ir HaTzedek refers to social justices, whereas Ne'emana refers to faithful to God. So you have Shoftim and Yoatzim, you can do both. You can both reach Shleimut, reach, you know, completion in Bein Adam L'Chavero, as well as in Bein Adam L'Makom. Now, the second interpretation that I saw, which takes Barishona and Batchila very seriously, is a gra. I saw this in the gra, based on a medrash, that Shoftim, refer to two people. Shoftim refer to David and Shlomo. We're asking for the return of David and Shlomo. And Yo'atzim, Yo'atzenu, in this pasuk, refers to Moshe and Aaron. And he has a long discussion about the difference between Rishonah and Batchila, the first in the series versus the first altogether. Moshe and Aaron were the first altogether, so that's Batchila originally, and Rishonah is the first in the series, so David and Shlomo were the first to bring down justice in a very serious way, with that kind of with the power of a king. So that's Shoftim Kirishonah.
So it's really the Rishonah and the Batchila that give him those two. Each of these two.
They give each of these two positions. Yeah, yes. Yeah, you can also speak about the difference between a yoetz, an advisor, a counselor, and a king. And specifically, you can see that. Perhaps you can see that reflected in Moshe and Aaron versus the rulership of David and Shlomo. Look in the Torah. People disagree with Moshe all the time. In a few instances, God comes down on them when they disagree with Moshe. Korach is the clearest example. But most of the time, people complain to Moshe. Moshe gets annoyed with them, but that's it. When it gets to Malachim, David and Shlomo and his progeny, if you annoy the king, you suffer the consequences. The king dispenses judgment. He is a serious show fate with a stick. So I'm wondering if a yoetz, a counselor, an advisor, is someone who tells you this is how you should be relating to God, but he doesn't necessarily come down on you with a stick. He's someone who's there by your side, whereas a shofet, someone who sets you straight. And that's also the melech, and that's David and Shlomo. And maybe also we can say why it's not Shaul, even though Shaul was a king also, was the first king, but he doesn't come down on people when they disagree with him. In fact, when the people who first made fun of him when he's first appointed king are shown to be fools, Shaul's advisors say, we should kill those people now who derided you. And Shaul says, no, they're fine, let them be. No, it's like I only became king today. I wasn't king when they did that to me. So Shaul doesn't lead that way. Shaul leads with a kind of humility, which the sages say is inappropriate for a king to have.
These aren't so far apart. I mean, they're almost, you can intertwine them because Moshe and Aaron were so deeply connected to Hashem, and so it's almost, whereas these were very much, people giving their bet, doing, I mean, obviously they had Ruach HaKodesh, I'm not saying they didn't, but, they were closer to regular people with great wisdom.
Definitely. So, let's move on to the next line from Esrei and the next pasuk, also from Yeshaya. Yeshaya Perek Lamed Hei. There are actually a few psukim in Yeshaya which use this exact phrase, but we'll read it together. The last pasuk in Perek Lamed Hei. Ufduye Hashem Yeshuvun. God will return the captives. Uvo Tzion Berina, and they will go back to Zion with singing. V'simchas Olam, and joy of the world, or worldly joy, Al Rosham. Sason V'simcha Yasigu, they will reach gladness and again joy. Vinasu Yagon Va'anacha, and Yagon Va'anacha, these two things, pain and sighing, they will flee away. Nasu, they will fly away from them. So just which line in Eretz is parallel to this pasuk?
Third.
Many Yagon Va'anacha, but there's a difference. So what's the difference?
So, and take it away.
Right. In our tefillah, we ask God to remove it. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is just a description. Yeah, it'll fly away. Yagon v'anacha will fly away. God will redeem us, but Yagon v'anacha will fly away. So we could ask the question. You don't have to ask the question. But you can ask the question, why are we deviating from the language of the text? Why can't we just say, Shiv Shoftim Kirishona, Yo'atzenu K'vat Tchila, return us our judges, and then when we have proper judges and we have proper counselors, so then sorrow and anguish will fly away. If you think about it, that's exactly the context that Yeshaya presents us the parallel pasuk. He says, the judges are corrupt. They don't take up the case of the widow. They don't take up the case of the orphan. God will clean us. God will bring us back the shoftim of yesteryear, and we will be called Ir HaTzedek. So it sounds like the shoftim, when we get back the shoftim, they will take care, they will take up the case of the orphan, they will take up the case of the widow, and then we will become the Iyar HaTzedek. It doesn't sound like God is the one who's removing the anguish. It sounds like God is the one who sets up, loyal judges, and they remove the anguish. So we understand why Yeshaya himself uses the phrase "Venasu Yagon Vanacha." So why do we deviate? Why do we deviate and say "Vehasami Meni Yagon Vanacha"? So you don't necessarily have to take this question seriously. You can just say, it's through the judges, or you can say we're asking a special request for God to remove these things. But I did see that many people, the Abudraham among them, take this question seriously, and they point to a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, when there are many righteous people, the nation is happy. But when the wicked rule, from the word Moshel, when they rule, the nation, the people groan. And this the word anacha, to pain. So somehow, there's a link. I mean, it's pretty obvious how, but there's a link between the wicked being in power and that, and there being anacha, there being this kind of groan, this sighing, this pain of the nation. So I was thinking, and this is Abudraham suggests this, that when we say v'haser mimeni yagon v'anacha, remove us, it's also a hint to asking God to remove from us wicked judges. In other words, those who are in authority who are wicked. Mm-hmm. So we're not only asking God to return righteous judges, and then the righteous people will take care of injustices. That's one form of anacha. But another form of anacha is the fact that there are wicked who are in rule. So we're asking God to remove the wicked who are in rule. And I was wondering, maybe the reason why we say that we only hint to that idea is because they're in rule.
Politically correct.
Not to be politically correct, but we don't want to bring down the vengeance of the rulers when we say remove from us the wicked rulers. Mm-hmm. Instead, we say v'haser mimeni yagon v'anacha. If you know Mishlei, you know what Shlomo HaMelech says about anachas, then you know that means the wicked rulers. But you don't say that explicitly. It might be dangerous to say that explicitly. So two possibilities. Either haser mimeni yagon v'anacha means, through the shoftim that you set up, they will remove the injustices. Or the idea of the Abudraham, that we're asking God to remove, along with asking God to return the judges, we're asking God to remove the wicked judges who we currently have.
Is the internal versus the express, the internal sort of, what word am I looking for? Malaise versus the expressed outward, the groaning, the sighing. Is that a general interpretation, or is that just one?
That was one interpretation I saw of the Malbim, Yagon v'anacha, that Yagon's internal anacha was expressed. I didn't really see anyone else discuss what exactly is the difference between the two of them. But he would say that here in this pasuk in Lamed Hey. I didn't look what he says in Mishlei, if he takes a specific stance on what Anach means. Okay, so far we're doing pretty well. We've gotten halfway through the bracha already. So the next line is Umaloch Alinu Ata Hashem Levadcha V'Chesed V'Rachamim, and you will be king over us with charity and with mercy. So with this, we need to back up a lot, I think, before we can explain why we're asking for this and what this has to do with anything. So let's go back all the way to before there were even kings, before David and Shlomo. So Shmuel HaNavi is a shofet himself. He's the last of the shoftim. Shmuel HaNavi is the last of the shoftim. Sages said that he is the author of Sefer Shoftim himself. And Shmuel judges, takes up the case of the orphan, and he takes up the case of the widow. And the Gemara even says that Shmuel went so far as to travel Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't stay at hotels, and he didn't stay at wealthy people. He traveled Eretz Yisrael with his own tent, and he provided himself with his food wherever he was, and with that, you could never be bought. He can never be bought because he would go to small villages, he would go to large villages, he would go to villages that could afford him, and he'd go to villages that couldn't afford him because no one was paying him. He took up the cases of everybody. And can you imagine if that didn't happen? Let's say you had to go to court to... let's say you had to go to court because, you know, someone stole something from you and you had to bring that person to court. So if you're a poor man, if you're a day laborer, you can't afford mm-hmm. to bring that person to court. Because that means you have to pick up from your job and you have to go to a big city and appeal to court. It might take days, and you can't afford to take days because you're a day laborer. But you could always wait till Shmuel HaNavi gets to your village. And then you can approach Shmuel because he'll be right there. You don't need to take time to speak to him. So that's why Shmuel is he's the shofet. He's the prototype. He's the best.
Is the orphan and the widow not necessarily a literal? Is it the disenfranchised and the poor?
For sure. Sure. Sometimes it's ger yatom ve'almana. Ger doesn't always mean convert. Ger means a stranger, literally. So disenfranchised is a good word. So Shmuel is getting old, and his kids don't have the same shtick that he does. They don't go from town to town. They are also judges, but they don't go to the people. They make people come to them, and it's you know, the society that of tzedek that Shmuel has created is starting to weaken. So the people come to Shmuel HaNavi, Pasuk Dalet Perichas. Vayiskaptu kol zeknei Yisrael vayavoh el Shmuel haRamata. All the elders of Israel come to Shmuel in Ramah, that's where Shmuel's from. Vayomri lav hinei ata zakanta. You're old. Uvanecha lo alchu bezrachecha, and your children have not gone on your path. Ata sima lanu melech l'shaftenu kechol hagoyim. Now place upon us a king to judge us like all of the nations. So there are psukim in the Torah that talk about the mitzvah, samta sima lecha melech, the mitzvah to have a king. So we understand, and we understand that they're coming from social justice. They say, Shmuel, your children are not like you. They don't travel around. We need a king, someone who can set down the law, who can punish social injustices. We need a king. But vayira hadavar b'ene Shmuel, kasher amru t'na lanu melech l'shoftenu. It was bad in Shmuel's eyes when they said, "Give us a melech to judge us." Vayitzbalel Shmuel el Hashem. Shmuel davens to God. So again, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, "Som tosam lechamelach." You have to have a king. And Shmuel thinks that when Bnei Yisrael asked to perform this mitzvah, does not think it's a good idea. So why? Why is Shmuel so bothered? He turns to God. Why is he so bothered? Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel. God says to Shmuel, "Shema b'kol ha'am l'chol asher yomer lecha." Listen to the people. Everything they say to you. But God comforts Shmuel. Ki lo otecham ma'asu. They are not disgusted with you, Shmuel. Ki oti ma'asu mimloch aleihem. It is with me that they are disgusted from being king upon them. Kol ma'asu ma'asher asu, me'ayom ha'losi yotam mimitzrayim. All the things that they did from the day I took them out of Egypt, ha'yom was until now, ve'azvuni. They have abandoned me. Ve'avdu elohim achirim. They have served other gods. Kein hema osim gam lach. So too they are doing to you. So what is God telling Shmuel?
I understand.
You understand?
No, that's what he's saying.
I understand.
Yeah, right. Been there, done that.
Don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Well, he's saying it's about me, it's not about you.
Yeah, God's saying it's about me. There's nothing wrong with you, Shmuel. You did your job perfectly. It's about me, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But, you know, what was going on? What did
not
Shmuel
so
think?
Okay with it.
Well, no, for sure. Not so okay with that. But we're going to go through. That's a good point. God's actually not okay with that. But what exactly is the problem here? It's compared to Avodah Zarah. It's compared to idolatry. You know, what was wrong with them asking for a king?
The intention.
What was the intention?
To be like the guy.
That's what they said, but that's not what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, he's upset, kasher amru, t'na lanu melech l'shaftenu, to judge us.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't sound like Kechol HaGoyim. That's what they did take Kechol HaGoyim. But and that is definitely one stream of thought. One stream of thought of the commentators is that their motivation is that they want to be as cool as the Goyim, and they have a king, so we want a king too. That is definitely one possibility, and that is a good way to compare to Avodah Zarah. That if you want to be like a non-Jewish person, so we can compare that to Avodah Zarah in a certain sense.
Yeah. And also, later on in Shmuel, doesn't he talk about the king is going to oppress you? And all
yeah, the next
that?
Line is God
so
tells
maybe
him.
It's just a reasonable, you know, this is not good for you. You know.
Okay,
like
I understand what you're
voice,
saying.
You know,
but that's not a. It could be that's what Shmuel means, but then God's response to him is very surprising, because God's response is, they're disgusted with me.
Yeah.
Can I close the door?
No, someone just knocked on the door, and then I think they walked away. So.
No, I think they were changing the placard on the door from
occupied to unoccupied, or vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's see.
So the Ramban addresses this question.
The fact that they begin by saying you're old, and you know that does seem to be a personal judgment against Shmuel. You know that.
But they're looking forward. They're saying your sons haven't followed.
Right.
I'm not sure that it's always, it hasn't generally gone by sons.
Even with kings,
I mean, it would really
be kings,
theoretically they should be saying, "You're getting older. Who are you training for the next shofet?" I mean, if that's what they're.
Well, yeah, but they use the language of Melech.
No, I'm saying
they
should be asking if they think this system is working, and it worked under him, but his kids haven't followed suit. So who's the next shofet? As opposed to, let's have a change of the way things are going, and let's go to a Melech.
There.
So there seems to be a criticism in the system
but
as well.
The Shoftim weren't. It wasn't like a dynasty, father to son.
That's
father
what
to
I'm
son.
Saying.
Yeah.
It, I mean, that's not
so
even.
So it's not even.
Well, I think he's just saying that the next it happens to be Shmuel's sons, but I think what we're saying is that the next leaders, who are the most influential authoritative figures, aren't going in Shmuel's path.
They are not in.
They are not. In other words, the people we see as those who would be your
right, but
successors are not.
The kings. The kings also were not. You can't guarantee a good king. Just by having a king doesn't mean you have a good king.
They definitely want to centralize power.
Okay, yeah.
It's a good. These are definitely. If we were learning Sefer Shmuel in depth, we would go into all of these possibilities. But there's one commentator who I think is fantastic, who addresses this in Sefer Breishis. The Ramban addresses us in Sefer Breishis, and he's trying to explain why is it that despite the fact that Yaakov tells Yehuda that Yehuda is going to be the Shevet that has the reign of kings, why is it that Shaul is appointed the first king?
Uh-huh.
Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin.
Right.
So he's trying to explain that. So the Ramban explains that let's see what he didn't say. V'inyan Shaul haya, the idea of Shaul, ki ba'avur shedavar she'ilas hamalchus be'isai, nit'av etzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the request to have a king at that time was disgusting for God. Lo ratza l'hamlech aleihem in asher shelo hamalchut shelo yasu mimenu la'olamim. God did not want to give them, in response to their inappropriate question, God did not want to give them an everlasting dynasty. God wanted to give them a dynasty that would not last. Shaul's dynasty was not going to last, because Yaakov promised Yehuda that his dynasty would last, but because they requested it inappropriately, because at that time, for whatever reason, it was inappropriate, so they specifically were granted a dynasty that would not last. V'natan lahem malchut shaul. Temporary dynasty.
Like
so why
a setup for failure?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a failure. Now the Ramban himself says that it could be that it doesn't mean that Shaul was destined to fail. It just meant that Shaul would not have been the permanent leader over all of Israel. If Shaul would have never sinned, so then he may have been maybe he'll be a leader within a greater kingdom. Would have been the leader of maybe Sheva Binyamin, or would have been the leader of the B'nai Yosef. The Ramban gives different possibilities. Not that necessarily he was doomed for failure, but that he would certainly not be the Melech over all of Israel permanently, which he was. He was the Melech over all of Israel. He would not remain in that station permanently. David, Malchus Yehuda would eventually take over. So why? Why was it inappropriate? So it says the Ramban, V'haya kol zeh mipnei shehaya Shmuel shofet v'navi. Because they were asking for a king in context of Shmuel being the judge and the prophet, v'lochem mechamotem al pi Hashem, and he fought their wars by the word of God. Omoshiyotam, he saved them. V'lo haya lahem l'shol melech b'yamav. They should not have asked for a king in the days of Shmuel. So, until now, until now, for the next line in the Ramban, it sounds like he's saying they had a really great leader. They thought Shmuel was getting old, but they had a great leader. And so you might say, so it's inappropriate to ask for another leader in context of Shmuel's life. But the Ramban pulls a fast one. He says, no, that's not what I mean. Not that he was a great leader, but Kemosh Amar, as the Pasuk later on says, Kemosh Amar, as Shmuel himself says to Bnei Yisrael before he passes away, Vashem Elokichem Malkichem. Hashem, our God, is your king. And our Pasuk as well, Vakosh Baruch Amar Lo, and God himself comforts Shmuel by saying, Lo Otcha Ma'asu, Ki Oti Ma'asu, Mim Lo Chalehem. They're not disgusted with you, they're disgusted with me. L'fichach Lo Natan Lehem Malchut Shal Kayama. So what the Ramban here is saying, how he finishes, it's not that Shmuel was such a great leader. He was such a great leader, that's true. But the reason why it was inappropriate to ask in the days of Shmuel is because Shmuel was a perfect reflection of the kingdom of heaven. When you lived in the day, if you lived in the days of Shmuel, you could appreciate that God was the real king. And you couldn't always appreciate that with every shofet. So when they had this revelation through Shmuel that God was the real king, to then ask for a king meant, for Shmuel, that meant he hadn't been doing a good job. Despite the fact that he was a prophet, he couldn't reveal to them, he couldn't show them that they lived in the kingdom of heaven, and he was disappointed in himself. So God comforts him and tells him, no. Lo otachamas, so they're not disgusted with you. You have done a perfectly fine job of expressing to them the fact that they are members of the heavenly kingdom. It's the problem is they don't want to be members of the heavenly kingdom. That's the problem. The problem is that they are ma'asu boti. They're disgusted with me as their king. And that's why Shmuel tries he screams at them before he goes, you have new kings coming after Shaul, but know that God is your king. And that was the problem when you asked me, and you should, as the kingdom, the kingship goes on, know that that's the case. But, I mean, we see this is definitely a danger. Definitely a danger when we have kings, and they have a mitzvah of some tesim alecha, melech, we have a mitzvah to have a melech. But that melech is supposed to be a reflection of God's kingdom. He's supposed to, perform acts of social justice. He's supposed to lead us in tshuva. The melech is supposed to, he reads from Sefer Dvarim, which is all tochach, it's all rebuke. He reads from Sefer Dvarim in front of all of Israel. He's supposed to lead us in tshuva. He's supposed to make us aware of that we are members of the kingdom of heaven. So now we get back to our tefillah. After we ask for a return of the old judges and a return of the old counselors, we say, "Umaloch aleinu ata Hashem levadecha v'chesed v'rachamim." And you should reign over us yourself, levadecha, by yourself, with charity and mercy. So I think now we have a glimpse of understanding why it says, why we pick up on this phrase, "Umaloch." We want to mention God's reign and the phrase levadecha. There might be other authority figures that we're asking for. We're asking for Shofnim back. We're asking for Yoatim back. But don't think that we're like Israel asking Shmuel for a melech chichol agayim because we want to remove ourselves from God's. We want to hide ourselves from God's kingdom. It's because we want to go back to God's kingdom. We want to be umaloch aleinu ata Hashem levadecha. We want God to be the one who is king over us. So that's going to be through the Shoftim. But we need to make this point clear. This is why Shmuel is upset with Bnei Yisrael, because they say we want a king, and they don't clarify we want a king because then God will be king over us. They just say we want a king. So when we ask for our rulership back, we say we want a king, we want rulers, we want judges, because we want you to be our sole king. All right, I think we have just enough time to do the last phrase. It's Tzadikinu b'mishpat. So literally, we shall be deemed righteous in judgment. So, I guess one possibility is that it's referring to the nation, the whole nation, in general. When God removes the wicked who are in rule, as we said before, and God returns the judges who can punish and cleanse us of all these social injustices, then after we've gone through all that torment, of the upheaval of enforcing social justice, we can say, "V'tzadikenu b'mishpat." Then we'll be righteous in mishpat. You can understand that, you know, if this tefillah is based on Yeshaya Perek Aleph, and it's in the context of an upheaval of the community, so we're asking for scary things. It's true, we're going to end up righteous at the end. And, you know, we're taking up the case of the disenfranchised. But we're asking for an upheaval, basically. And that's, we're asking to be cleansed with detergent. It's not, I don't think it's so pleasant. Right, that's the metaphor. It's not so pleasant. So it's tzadikinu b'mishpat. But past history has the people really, they really pined for this. And I have here from Melechem Rav, a cousin of mine, we quoted him in the past. He quotes from Sefer Yaros Dvash an interesting point. And for that, we should go back in history a little bit. In the days of Rav Yosef Cairo in Tzfat, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, one of his rabbeim actually led a movement to return smicha, to return the smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu to Israel. Now that sounds like a crazy idea. If we've lost the tradition for smicha, then how could you return smicha? So the Rambam says that just because there's no individual we can point to who we can say about him that he has knowledge of all the Torah, but all of Israel never forgets all the Torah. So if all of Israel can get together, we can all gather together, all the sages of Israel, and say about a specific person, we recognize that this person knows all of Torah. So then that person is now a musmach. He now has smicha. So, and I don't mean smicha as in like right. Smicha from YU. I mean smicha as in now he can be a judge. He mm-hmm. can sit on a bezdin that can give capital punishment, a bezdin that can determine when Rosh Chodesh is, a bezdin that can give lashes. We can, according to the Rambam, we can return that to that situation. Those original days where the judges had smicha. So there was a movement in the days of Yosef Cairo to give his Rebbe smicha. All the sages who were in Safat declared that his Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Beirav, was a musmach. And then Rav Yaakov Beirav gave smicha to four people. One of them, Rav Yosef Cairo, who later wrote the Shulchan Aruch. But after that, it died out because the sages who lived in Yerushalayim at the time said that they shouldn't have created a Sanhedrin, and they tried to create a Sanhedrin. And then there were other sages who said the Rambam was wrong, you can't recreate smicha, so it petered out. But why was there such a movement to recreate smicha? So on the one hand, because it's cool, right? The return of the good old days.
It also engenders some sort of achdut, like if you have one good body of...
Good, that's definitely a good possibility. I saw someone who pointed out the Lechem Rav himself said that this bracha, Shir Shoftinu, follows the last bracha of Kibbutz Galios. Because when you have Kibbutz Galios, all these different people, all the diaspora collecting together from the four corners of the world, we need to reconstruct a centralized authority, because there's so many different positions that will be taken up because history has separated us. So it's important to centralize government. That's definitely a good possibility. But in the days of Yosef Cairo, there was another thing that was important. That was the result of the Spanish Inquisition. During the Spanish Inquisition, there were many Jews who fled, and there were Jews who converted, and there were Jews who pretended to convert. Mm-hmm. And in their pretending to convert, they did all sorts of things that they were not proud of later. All sorts of they ate all sorts of things that they weren't halachically allowed to eat. So what were they looking for when they came back to Israel, when they finally came to Israel and they wanted to set up a court? They were looking for a court to give them lashes. They were looking for a court to give them lashes, to give them
tzadikinu b'mishpat,
to give them a sense of, you know, so they could reclaim their righteousness. And he quotes this line from the Yaros Dvash, when there's im yesh din lamata, ein din lamala, when there is judgment dispensed and the lower courts, there is no judgment dispensed in the upper courts. They're trying to save themselves from the courts of heaven by arranging that they should be punished in this world with lashes. They don't want to be punished in the next world.
Where does tshuva fit into all this?
So tshuva fits along with these ideas. The Gemara in Yuma says that there are different sins that you can perform. Some sins, tshuva by itself works on its own. But other sins, you need to have tshuva and lashes. And other sins, more severe, you need tshuva, lashes, and death. And there's all a list of which sins are what. So I'm not sure what their sins were. They're familiar with the Gemara. I'm sure they're familiar with the Gemara and Yuma, but they're asked, they want lashes. They want to get their punishment in this world, in the flesh, so that they don't have to have a spiritual punishment later. So, the Yaros Devash says, perhaps this bracha refers to the return of Eliyahu HaNavi. And with Eliyahu HaNavi, we can return our, we can get back smicha, and we can set up proper courts, and we'll be able to give proper punishment. And we saw, even according to the, you know, we saw earlier, the Graz pointed that Shoftim meant David and Shlomo, and Yoatzim meant Moshe and Aaron. Certainly it means a return back to the courts. But perhaps this line of it, Tzadikim b'Mishpat, doesn't mean the nation will be righteous after we've been cleansed of the wicked, but it's us. You know, the Brecha is, the Aaron's Brecha is saying, it's us who we are wicked. If we can arrange to put ourselves under the authority of a proper bezin with smicha, we can cleanse ourselves, and then afterwards we're setting ourselves up for v'tzad the kingdom of mishpat. We will be righteous in the mishpat later on. So I think it's a powerful way to look at the bracha. You can even look at the bracha as, you know, do I take care of the poor enough? Am I asking to be punished? Or you can take the perspective of the socially disenfranchised. And you can say, oh, those people who are doing bad things, they should all be wiped off the planet, they should all be killed. And then, you know, me and the nation who are disenfranchised, we can be healed. But this Yaros Devash puts all those things like together. We are the ones who are wicked, and we're asking to arrange a system to help clean ourselves, so that we can be Vitzadikim Mishra, so that we can be righteous come the day of judgment. I think it's just a beautiful way to look at this bracha. It's all about inside the kingdom by mishpat. We're not asking other people to be killed. We're not asking, you know, for social upheaval. We're asking for ourselves, for us to help. We're asking for help in our repentance.
And then the end of the bracha accentuates that. Ohe tzedek u'mishpat.
How do you mean?
Well, it's just mishpat is that harsh aspect.
Yeah, for sure. Right, different aspect. Yeah, right. So that tzedek u'mishpat are definitely two themes. Yeah, so if we look at the whole bracha, let's just take a glance and look at the whole bracha. So we're asking, we turn our judges like old. So we're asking God to help us with our social injustices, right? That's the line of Shofet. We're asking God to help us connect back to Him. And remove our pain. So either that's our own pain, that we're being oppressed by the Rishayim who are in power, who we're asking for the removal of the Rishayim, or, you know, with the judges who are righteous, who God appoints, they will make sure to take care of social injustice. But all of that, you should know, God, all of that is because we want to see your reign. We want there to be just judges who follow Al Pi Torah. So that it's an expression of God's kingdom. We don't want there just to be judges who aren't a reflection of God's reign. We know that's inappropriate. We ask for judges who are a reflection of God's law. And that's all of it's Tzadikim B'Mishpat. Perhaps one possibility, it could be it's a national Tzadikim B'Mishpat, but it could also be a personal Tzadikim B'Mishpat. We want to help correct ourselves. Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Ohev, Tzedek U'Mishpat. Blessed are you, Hashem, a king who loves Tzedek U'Mishpat. And we can see, if there are judges who follow Tzedek U'Mishpat, so that is a reflection of God's Malchus, of God's reign. That's U'Moloch Alinu Atah Hashem, L'Vadchar.